Welcome back to Peak to Pit. For the first time in however many episodes we've done, you have to hear my voice first instead of Allie's, but I am TJ Pittenger alongside Allie Peak, and we are back for another week in a row. More college football news dropping. Allie, how are you doing today?
I am doing really well, and I'm super pumped. We have all this college football stuff to talk about, and I'm kind of glad that we're starting 10 minutes later than we planned, per usual, because we actually have way more information than we did 10 minutes ago.
Seems like every week we shoot for a time, and then like half an hour before that, I say I'm ready, and you say, okay, let's go, and then we end up starting late because
hashtag life.
We start talking and should have just hit record, you know, 10 minutes ago. But yeah, a lot of news, some kind of breaking-ish news. But before we get to that, we'll get started. We partied this weekend. We partied really, really hard together. Parent life partying is different, but we hung out and our kids played together. Kara was telling me that as soon as the girls walked in, Hayden walked over and just picked up Elena and just loved on her. And she's like, I love how much Allie's girls love Elena. Like, it's so sweet. So we had a good time celebrating Elena's birthday. We've been pushing her. It's rained every day in Tampa since the party. So
not just rained, like monsooned.
Monsooned. So even when it stopped raining, like, it's super wet outside and nasty and, you know, like, there's puddles on the sidewalks and stuff. So we've been pushing her around the house with the scooter, and she loves that. She's starting to kind of like pick up how to do it a little bit. So
we got ours when we were two, and they picked it up right away. And I swear, I think that helps with coordination down the line. And I used to let ours do it in the kitchen. And probably about 6 months ago, Eric's like, don't you think they're too big to let them do this in the house now? So we had to kind of cut back because Dad was the fun sponge on that. But I fully support scooting in the house.
Yeah. So have enjoyed that. You know, Allie's trying to break her kids of all the bad habits that they picked up from me after really just like three or four hours.
I have to tell everyone my favorite one. So TJ's child is too young to pick up on some of his jokes, which is why he still makes them. But he offers my children, who just turned six, at the birthday party, hey, do you guys want a cigarette? So I heard it. I didn't see the girls acknowledge it, so I didn't acknowledge it to them either. Most of the time they call cigarettes smokers, and anytime they see anybody with one in their mouth, they promptly tell them that you're going to die, on a very regular basis. So the other day they are opening their birthday cards from TJ and Kara, and I was like, oh my gosh, can you believe that Mr. TJ gave you that money? And Hayden goes, yeah, can you believe that Mr. TJ offered Hadley and I a cigarette? I was like, oh my gosh, he was kidding. Oh my gosh.
It's hilarious.
But even with the right like inflection, yeah, can you believe?
Can you believe? Like, totally understood.
What okay, so a crappy parent that guy is.
Yeah, he's horrible. We feel so bad for Elena and Bryant. I don't smoke. I don't just, well, yeah, I do. Yeah. If you smoke, you should stop. So yeah. I don't smoke.
That's why I teach my children that they're going to die if they smoke cigarettes.
I hit a cigar every once in a while, but yeah, so I don't smoke and wouldn't normally give 6-year-old cigarettes. but if Hayden or Hadley would have accepted my offer, I would have driven to the store and grabbed them some. So, yeah, again, my 2-year-old doesn't pick up on my jokes yet, so that's why I can still kind of make them. But, yeah, when she's 3 or 4, I probably will have to stop. But and I'll opt out of those jokes. Speaking of opting out, your reigning national champion LSU Tigers have had a couple of opt-outs this week, most notably Ja'Marr Chase. Will not be playing, a couple of pretty prolific defensive players as well. Thoughts on, you know, one of the premier teams in the conference and some of their premier players opting out for this season?
So I think I saw that 16 of 22 starters are gone for one reason or another. And then it's insane. I want to say like more than 30 of the two deep is gone. Like it's a really large amount. But I honestly think this is an interesting opportunity for LSU. One, we're going to see what kind of coach O is first and foremost. So that'll be interesting to see, I think, from my perspective anyway. But LSU has been killing it with recruiting. This is going to be a really interesting opportunity for them to play a lot of freshmen way earlier than they ever would, freshmen that are going to get to retain their eligibility. So I think that although I don't think LSU is going to be in a running for the national title this year, I actually think this season is going to be more beneficial for them than almost anybody else. I mean, I guess except for the team that wins the national title. Because of how it's going to help them for the future. There's not another team in the country that's going to play as many young people as LSU is going to have to, but all those guys get that eligibility. So they're going to get to play young guys with experience next year. And that's going to be really helpful.
Yeah. The one thing, the double-edged sword of that, or the, you know, potential downside is they still have their eligibility to get to the NFL. So if they do end up becoming super elite, they can still kind of leave early. But for your depth guys, for your role players, for just whomever, your guys that aren't necessarily going to the NFL, it's massive for them. You know, if you got a bunch of older guys, it's just not gonna hit the same. So it'll definitely benefit them. But I don't know. We've talked about this, and I think I tweeted a little bit about this. LSU is, you know, I don't know, what was the last just massive drop off you remember from a team winning a national title to the next season? And I'm trying to think of them now. Like, I don't even really remember one. You know, Florida, last few years, all the teams that have won the last few years were good the next year, right? So I think this is going to be one that's just drastic. You know, I mean, I'm thinking back even to, so I'm trying to get back, like, I keep going backwards and backwards and backwards. I mean, Florida won and was good. Florida won and was good. LSU won and was good. Alabama won and was good. You know, Clemson won and was good. Florida State won and was good the next year. So, like, Ohio State won and was good the next year. USC won and was good the next year.
Florida went 8-5, which is the year after they won the national title. And so when they won it in 08,
that's a pretty big,
eight and five the next year. That was,
a pretty drastic drop off, especially in a season.
Yeah. And
Florida went 8-5 that next year and played, you know, some cupcakes. I mean, there are no,
I mean, they were 4-4 in the SEC and Urban Meyer was their head coach. So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty terrible.
There are definite cupcakes that Florida played that year because you play out of conference. Florida State was one of them. They were terrible back then. And then you're obviously your FCS schools or your just low level FBS schools that you're playing. And there aren't those for LSU. Like every week is the SEC. So
that's going to be interesting about this season for everybody is that they're really in this conference anyway, there are no off weeks per se. And I think everybody probably feels that way about their own conference because there is, you know, rivalries within your own conference. So even if from the outside looking in, we don't see it, those teams feel it.
Yeah. Except for Clemson, who has 11 off weeks. I think it'll be interesting to see, but I think so I put this out the other day. I think that until proven otherwise, like you've got Alabama as your, you know, best team in the conference. I think there's a little bit of a gap there. And then Georgia, I think right behind them is Florida. I think right behind them, a little bit more of a gap is Auburn. And then I think there's a decent gap down to LSU and Texas A&M.
I don't know that I put Texas A&M and LSU in the same class just with the number of people that LSU lost, but I mean, I see where you're going with that.
You think LSU is below or above?
Yeah, I
think Jimbo
having not watched them at all this season, I would say below, just given what each team lost.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, LSU definitely lost a lot, but they had a lot more that they could lose. LSU probably is still more talented.
I mean, they were more talented than anybody in the country, though. So you could make that statement about LSU versus anybody.
Right. But they
and also – Texas A&M, think about, like, I understand that Texas A&M didn't finish with a great record, but they also have Alabama, LSU, and Auburn in their own side of the division.
And they still have that, though. Like, they're still going to lose. And they get to play Florida this year, the best team in the other division. So, or, you know, one of the best teams in the other division. So until Jimbo shows me that he can get through a season without five losses, I think that that's just kind of the groupings, right? Like, I don't really care if you put LSU or A&M there, but, you know, there, I just think there's going to be a massive drop off with them this year. I still think they'll play competitively. Like, I, you know, I mean, Florida should beat them this year. Alabama will beat them this year. Auburn should beat them this year. I think the A&M game's a coin flip one way or the other. But, you know, LSU is going to be competitive, I would say, in probably every game but the Alabama game. I don't expect Florida to just come out and beat LSU by 21 or A&M to do that or anybody. I would not be shocked.
I like Alabama's odds against LSU kind of big this year.
I think Florida wins. It would shock me if they beat them by more than 14. Like, if that's a three-score game, I don't know. And that's in the preseason, right? Like, we may get 3 weeks into the year and I say, oh my gosh, Florida's going to kill this team.
Right, right.
You know, typically those – typically your big rivalries, you don't see the massive blowouts.
Yeah.
Because of the sheer – athletes that are on the field, right? Like, people are just going to make
which plays. Is why I think this year may be a little bit different. But I mean, I think that Florida gets LSU about what, the midway point, maybe a little bit earlier than the midway point of the season, right? Would you say that? What game is it? It's five, right?
Well, it's October 10th. So they start on the 24th. So
the fourth game
in.
Of the season. Okay. So I'd rather get a team that's going to be starting a whole bunch of freshmen game four than game nine, because I also think there's a chance LSU looks very different by week nine than they do in the beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
We're talking about guys that will not have seen the field. I mean, they're essentially, their entire two deep for the most part is completely gone. So the guys that are going to be playing are not guys that got any time against a team like Florida or a team like Alabama.
And Florida has a couple
if this isn't their first year in college anyway.
Yeah, I think LSU is kind of fortunate to get really like two true tune-up games before they play Florida. And Florida's road is probably a little bit harder before they play LSU. Not that they should really lose any of them, but LSU starts out with Mississippi State.
Florida's hardest games are in the first 6 weeks.
For sure. And they've got a really tough stretch. I mean, LSU plays Mississippi State, then goes to Vanderbilt, then plays Missouri. I mean, no matter how much they lost, they really should go into that game 3-0. The Missouri game's at home, which is probably the toughest. Florida's is, I think, a little bit tougher. I mean, I think Florida beats Mississippi, should beat South Carolina, but it seems like South Carolina always plays them very well. And then they go to Texas A&M. And like you said, I think Florida's better than A&M. I think it's two excellent game day coaches, and Jimbo Fisher has a great, great history against Florida. In finishing 6-1 against them at Florida State. I think that the coaching by both Mullen and Fisher will be fantastic. Like, I am so looking forward to that game just because I think it'll be very, very good from an X's and O's standpoint. Jimbo has now been able to work with Mullen for 2 years. I think that game will be a ton of fun. I think Florida should win it, but I mean, it would not shock me at all if Texas A&M was able to pull that win in week three. And then Florida has to turn around and play LSU after, you know, what I think will be a hard fought game against A&M, whether Florida wins or not. So I think that the schedule lines up to be a little more challenging for Florida starting out. But I think that, I mean, it ends up being a lot more challenging for LSU going out because they, you know, have Auburn and Alabama on the backside of theirs. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see kind of how that game falls kind of, again, at a weird time. It's a weird game for Florida, again, coming off of the South Carolina and A&M games. But, man, I'm so glad that we're close to it. I'm so glad that we're talking about actual real life football.
Know,
I don't care how any of it, you know, happens or shakes out. I mean, we got to a little bit of a preview with some games, actually just one game this weekend, and we've got more coming up. But, man, I'm glad that it's close.
Me too. Well, let's get into a little bit more breaking news. So you want to talk about Donald Trump or UCF?
Which, between Donald Trump and UCF, which which entity or like which person, I mean, it's weird because one's a team, one's a person, but like which between Donald Trump and UCF, who stirs up Twitter more?
Oh, that is a great question. And I am 100% not sure that I know the answer to that. Let's start with Donald Trump. He tweeted about 45 minutes ago, had a very productive conversation with Kevin Warren, commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, about immediately starting up the Big Ten football. Would be great for everyone, players, fans, country, on the 1 yard line. Now, if we are to think that Donald Trump knows what it means to use the phrase on the 1 yard line, that would tell us that he thinks that they're pretty close to a deal to start football back up. I don't think the Big Ten plays football until next fall. However, there have been some changes since our last podcast within the Big Ten, I guess, saga, we'll call it. So the parents organization at multiple of these teams have hired attorneys and are essentially kind of trying to sue for their kids, not kind of are trying to sue to have their kids be able to play. But one of the things that they've demanded from the Big Ten was a list of how the schools voted. So it was 11-3, which is interesting because all the rumors were that it was 12-2. So we should definitely not trust the random insiders we're hearing from the Big Ten because they were not accurate. That's with Nebraska, Iowa, and Ohio State presidents voting in favor of playing. But another thing that came out was that those that voted against weren't necessarily voting for a spring season. They were voting to postpone the season. The 11-3 vote was to postpone the start of the season. So in theory, some of these presidents could have been of the mindset like, let's postpone it a month or 2 months or whatever. And I think that that's important because, I mean, most of our conferences postponed the start of the season. They were all supposed to start last weekend. So I think that's interesting. I don't think a spring season, I think that's a logistical nightmare. I honestly think that's kicking the can down the road till you get to the spring and say, oh, never mind, we're just going to play in the fall. And I also think that if you are legitimate about playing a spring season, then you for sure don't get to use the argument that you're doing this for player safety anymore, because the concept of playing 20 plus games over the course of 8 months is not in any way beneficial for players' health and safety. But what if Donald Trump gets the Big Ten to play football again?
I don't know. It'll be some definite hot takes.
I almost want it to happen just so that I can watch Twitter.
I wonder what the actual conversation looked like, because, you know, no matter where you stand on your politics, Trump is notoriously somebody that we'll just say exaggerate some things. So like,
oh, for sure.
I wonder if the on the 1 yard line. So here's the one
means
thing, right?
Like 99 yards to go.
Yeah. Which 1 yard line are we talking about? That's hilarious. I didn't think about that, but I wonder if that's really just more of a pressure tactic, because whether you like Trump or not, right? You agree with his politics or not, whatever. If you're in the Big Ten right now, you can hate Trump all you want. Which he's a very hateable person by a lot of people. I get that. But you want him to push Kevin Warren to get, you know,
I've seen so many politics. Players tweet, this is the only good thing Donald Trump's ever done for us in his, you know, 3.5 years.
So are they really close? I doubt it. I doubt they play. Is this a pressure tactic by Donald Trump to get Kevin Warren to do it? Absolutely.
Well, because here's the thing too. This tweet goes out. How many people do you think are blowing up the commissioner's office right now? Say, like, trying, you know, how you do if, like, you know, the school board or the city commission has a vote coming up or something. And so you email your representative because you want to make sure that, like, they know what their constituents think. Like, what do you think the odds that his phone is or email, whatever, is off the chain right now because of this tweet? And that may have been part of the whole point, obviously.
And he may not be checking this, but his Twitter mentions are on fire right now.
I mean, he's aware of what this did. You know, the Big Ten, we talked about this off air, but they completely botched this. And they could come up with the identical conclusion, which is that they do not think that it's safe to play football this fall. And I think if they'd handled the process different, they would be getting less pushback. They did everything very much behind closed doors. They did it very much independently of other conferences, whereas other conferences talked to each other, shared information with each other, kind of almost made a group decision, at least the three that are playing for the most part. And I think the Big Ten was like, oh no, we don't want anybody else's opinion. And also, we'll be the first to opt out. Everybody else follow our lead. And then the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC were like, have fun by yourself, bud. We're good. And they were very caught off guard by that. But one of the things that's come out in the last few days is that they're throwing around a late November start or mid-November start to the season, which I don't know about you, but I think that's actually worse than even attempting a spring or not playing at all. Because are you really telling me you're going to have football going on at the same time that the playoffs are going on and bowl games are going on, but your teams are not eligible?
Right. Yeah.
That's asinine to me. To me, that's just putting it more and more on display what morons you are.
Right. And the weather, I don't think it's a great idea to play in Michigan.
Well, they said that they may utilize some indoor facilities because they won't have fans either way. So I don't know that the weather is going to be as much a factor because of that. But you can't convince me that if you can start on November 15th, that you can't start on October 6th and then therefore play enough games to have team eligible for the playoffs and have teams eligible for bowl games. There is nothing that will change in that 5-week window if it's safe to play November 15th.
Well, so, I think part of it is pride too, right? Like, can the Big Ten really come out right now and say, you know what, we were wrong. We made this entire thing.
Starting in mid-November any better? I think that looks so much worse.
Right. No, I just don't think there's a good option for them. Plus, right now, like, you'd have to start practice again. And
no, they've been practicing. They were allowed to practice. The whole thing that it makes this even more ridiculous is that players were still allowed to practice 20 hours a week. They were allowed to work out within the facility. They were allowed to have their team meals at the athletic dining halls. The only thing that they are not allowed to do is play football, like games, actual games. They are allowed to practice and have been practicing.
So the Big Ten needs to reverse course and immediately start practicing.
I mean,
I'm sorry, playing. Schedule the games.
Yeah, and I don't know what kind of practices are going on because it could be like the spring where, you know, they're doing some workouts. Every once in a while, they're doing shell training. Like, it doesn't mean that they are working out to the extent that you do when you are about to be in the beginning of a 10-game season. But by the rules that their own conference put in place, they're allowed to be, which I think is one of the most ridiculous parts of this, to be honest, because I don't understand how, you know, practicing keeps you safe from the virus, but playing a game is where you're at risk. But I'm interested to see what happens. I think it's hilarious that the president is involved. I don't know why this, you know, tickles me so much, but it does. I don't know that Donald Trump knows what it means to say you're on the 1-yard line. So who knows if we're really close or really, really far away, but
I think he knows. I think he knows. I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt too, but I would be really funny if the deal falls through and, you know,
expect it to happen, but I mean, I don't expect most deals that politicians come up with to happen. So, I mean,
it's a fun thing to watch, and we have more college football stuff to pay attention to on social media and in real life, and that feels good after almost 6 months.
Yeah. Speaking of, there was a game on Saturday night. The Lightning game ended up being kind of noontime. The Lakers game was never in question, so I didn't watch that. The Rays were before as well, so I did watch the game between Central Arkansas and Austin Peay. It was really good. Austin Peay took the lead. And
was Central that Arkansas not so awesome to see the kickoff be returned for a touchdown or first play of the game? Touchdown?
It was fantastic.
It wasn't the kickoff return. It was the first play, right?
What better way to start it? Yeah, it was kind of like a little option play to the left. And dude put on the burners. And it was like, whoa, this was great. College football's back. And then to have a team, you know, win it with 30 seconds left. I mean, two scores in the last couple of minutes, went back and forth, lead changes, and Central Arkansas came away with the win. Central Arkansas also, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. They play on Thursday.
Same thing.
Bet on Austin Peay, and he said to me yesterday, he was like, good thing we didn't have more money in our Bravado account because you would have made me put more on that game. We would have lost.
Like, they play again on Thursday against somewhat of an intriguing game. Okay, so like follow me with this. They play on Thursday night against UAB, and then 1 week from that game, UAB, our UAB plays against Miami. So a little preview there for the team that Miami will see. Miami's a big favorite in that game, but they were a big favorite against FIU too. So hopefully UAB can get a little experience from the Central Arkansas game and then go out and win the next week too. So that would be a great
You
start
will find this amusing. There's a tweet that just went out. Miami September 10th home opener against UAB has been put on the ACC network, which is still not available in South Florida.
Yeah.
So they won't be able to watch their own game. But I guess they don't go to the stadium to watch their own game either. So maybe nobody cares. But I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we've got college football back this week. We've got six games, including the game on Thursday night. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a couple on Thursday. Central Arkansas, UAB, and then Southern Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Southern Mississippi, I'm sorry, we're South Alabama. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games on Saturday, and then one on Monday. So still doing.
And there's college game day. I know you don't care, but I care. They're going to the BYU Army game, which is Monday, but game day will air on Saturday.
They're going to be live there?
That's what they said. So I don't think they're allowing fans. So my assumption is it'll probably be inside the stadium and you won't be able to get in the stadium. They haven't exactly said what the logistics of it are, but they are actually going there.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I think have to do it where people can't gather because that's in Maryland too. So like you couldn't.
Right.
You'd need to. I wouldn't think that they would be allowed to gather, but yeah, that'd be fine to do it inside the stadium. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
They do that sometimes anyway, depending on like, think about post game from like the SEC championship game or whatever. They usually put that desk right inside. So since the game's not till Monday and they're doing this on Saturday, I'm sure it'll just be literally on the field.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't really care much about college game day anyway, but I certainly don't care about the fans in the background during college.
No, like I don't care about it. Although I will say sometimes the signs are hysterical.
They are funny. People should just tweet their signs.
Yeah, people just need to tweet their signs. Tweet them just to me. I don't even care if you tweet them to game day, but I want to see them.
Yeah, just make a sign in your apartment, send a picture to Twitter, and you'll be set. So there are some games. Let's do this. We're going to start an against the – I've had some people ask me to put one of these together for just a bunch of people to do like a buy-in and stuff. Maybe I'll do that in future weeks, but I don't have the time and didn't think about it beforehand. So we're not getting it for this week. But we have 1, 2, 3, 4 games that I've got live spreads for. We'll see if we can find more or not. But let's go against the spread. Something I'm just here to beat you in, is the only reason we're doing this. So it seemed like a good idea. South Alabama +15.5 against Southern Mississippi.
I'm taking Southern Miss.
Okay.
Who are you taking? You have to say who you're taking too.
Yeah, we'll go back and forth. That way it's not like one of us. But so you're taking Southern Miss. I'll go the other way. I'll go South Alabama with the points, right? Like this is the spread. I will take Army -3.
That's good because I was taking Middle Tennessee State.
I mean, can we just assume that you will just take the opposite every time? I'll go SMU -22.5.
Yeah, I'm taking that too. That's okay, but I'm taking that too.
Cool. And the game on Monday night that we talked about, BYU and Navy. BYU is a 2-point favorite.
Yeah, I think BYU covers, so I'm taking BYU.
I'll take Navy, BYU, Allie, and Navy, TJ, at -2. I don't want it to get – if the line changes, we're still going with what we picked it at today.
Yeah, yeah.
And then let me see if there's any more – so we want to do 5 a week.
There's a Memphis, yeah, right?
Memphis, Arkansas. I'll take Memphis -19.
Yeah, I'm going to take Memphis as well.
Okay. Memphis -19. Oh, if I can get it set up by the end of this week, then I'll have it where more people can do it. But if not, then I'll just beat you and that'll be enough.
So
the only games that matter are Southern Miss, Southern Alabama, SMU, and Army. We went with the same.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Army and then the Navy game. Yeah. We went with the same thing for SMU and Memphis. So that'd be fun. Some more, again, I don't know if this is breaking news or not, but some schedule times came out. I don't know that schedule times are something that's really fun for fans to talk about and almost never has any real impact on anything other than, you know, us making plans. UF's opener at noon on what weekend is that? The 25th? Is that right? 26, yep, somewhere in there?
26th.
What were your thoughts on UF playing their opener at noon?
So I don't mind noon games as a fan if I'm watching them on my couch. Not a big fan of noon games if I'm in the stadium. However, I will say I don't think Florida plays very well at noon. I don't know what it is. Just historically, I don't feel like they play well. I don't know if they're just not awake. I don't know if it's that it's 9 million degrees in the swamp at noon. From noon to 3:30 is about the hottest window of time you're going to get in that stadium. But I don't particularly like it for the team. I don't know. I just don't think they play that well. But it appears basically that the SEC is replacing the Big Ten for the noon ESPN window, which makes sense. And they're condensing the season a little bit, right? Because we are kind of all over the place. So they're going to have to put teams there. But for viewing purposes, I like it. That's about my only reason for liking it.
Yeah, we talked about this off air. Florida State plays Miami that same weekend. I believe that game will be 3:30 or later. Both teams should be undefeated going to that game. It'd be a massive Florida State's an 11.5-point favorite against Georgia Tech. Miami's going to be a big favorite against Louisville and UAB. It'd be a pretty big problem if either team went into that game not undefeated. So neither team's really had a chance to blow it just yet. And I think that game will be a 3:30 or later. There are just less games this year, and the way that the SEC is starting their schedule, there are really not a lot of compelling games week one. Try to give the good teams tune-ups. I think the most compelling game is Tennessee and South Carolina, and still, who the hell cares? But because of that, I really think that Florida State and Miami, because of the history of the programs, not necessarily their recent success, which has been very little, I still think that'll be a 3:30 game. I mean, Florida and Georgia.
I do like the concept of having more games that I'm interested in watching all day long, as opposed to it being the 7 o'clock hour and I'm trying to switch between four games that right. I want to see.
Yeah. So because there are less games, I think that Florida State Miami game will not be a noon game. So I'm happy that Florida got the noon game so that we can watch both of them, because I know that if I came over your house, I have to bring another TV to be able to watch both.
We have one on the back porch now too. So we're good on that. Eric keeps trying to convince me to put a second one over our big one in our TV stand. There's a shelf above that TV, and he keeps trying to convince me that a 40-inch TV will fit there. We should put a second one stacked up and down. I have yet to agree to this, but I don't know. Maybe if it could be temporary for only football season, I might consider it.
That's hilarious. So I like the noon game too. I also just talk. We'll go more into that game, but I'll say what I have to say now. I'm really intrigued by that game. I don't think the SEC slate is very good their first week. Again, I think the best one is that South Carolina. I think the only game that'll be a single digit spread is that South Carolina
Tennessee game.
Tennessee game. Kentucky Auburn is sitting at 10.5. Florida on the road at Ole Miss is 11. LSU is a 20-point favorite, 19. Georgia is 22. Alabama's 20.5. A&M's 4 touchdowns so against Vanderbilt. So, you know, they did make that Tennessee-South Carolina game, the 7:30 game, which I think is smart. I mean, you make your biggest, best game your nightcap on week one because everybody else is in the meat of their schedule. So anyway, I like the Ole Miss game. I think it is somewhat intriguing. You know, I don't think I would give Florida a 90%+ chance of winning that game. I think that's probably about what the implied probability of an 11-point spread is anyway. So, you know, 9 out of 10 times Florida is going to win that game. I think that, like you said, Florida does start out slow sometimes. I think that it'll be very interesting to see Plumlee and Kiffin. I think that Ole Miss potentially keeps that close for a quarter, maybe two. Florida pulls away late, wins by 17-ish. But I'm intrigued by that. I think that'll be a fun game.
Because Lane Kiffin and Dan Mullen both have fun personalities to begin with. So I think there's a decent chance we get some, you know, semi-irreverent quotes the week leading up to it, which is always fun for everybody. I think that basically Florida's only real experience with Lane Kiffin comes from the amount of stuff he talked about Urban Meyer, like the one time they played when he was at Tennessee for 1 year, and Dan Mullen was the offensive coordinator at the time. So, I mean, I don't know if he takes any of that personally, probably not, but that's Florida fans' limited experience with Lane Kiffin. I think the SEC is more fun and more intriguing with him in it just because of the type of character that he is. This game is no different from that. I think also, you know, you got to kick the rust off your first game, your first couple games generally. So it will probably be closer than it would be if this game was played in week 6 or 7. But I honestly don't even care what the product on the field looks like because I'm just so excited for them to be on the field.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think
that's a lie. They better win every game, but you know what I mean.
So that one's at noon. The next one's at noon too. So the South Carolina game.
You know, Florida and South Carolina have played at noon every year since 2014.
So why do you think that is?
Because it's not that intriguing of a matchup for the rest of the country.
But it always ends up being a really good game.
Yeah, it always does. But I think when you are looking at the slate, people are like, "Nah, not that many people care about this."
Yeah, I agree. I think that Florida has a great fan base. I know that South Carolina doesn't have a great fan base, but like, who really cares about South Carolina outside of South Carolina?
Interesting, you know, like South Carolina and Florida fans because of the cross ties, because of the fact that Spurrier went to South Carolina, and obviously he is a Gator great. That Will Muschamp is there now, and he coached at Florida. I think that it's intriguing to both fan bases. I think South Carolina has a little bit of an inferiority complex, kind of like, you know, we got Florida's leftovers or something. And they, you know, South Carolina fans get real butthurt when Steve Spurrier puts a Gator shirt back on, even though the last place he coached was South Carolina. When Will Muschamp gives compliments to Florida players and stuff, it usually rubs South Carolina fans the wrong way. Florida fans, truly, at least from my perspective, I've rooted for South Carolina since Spurrier went there. I wanted Spurrier to do really, really well there. I want Will Muschamp to do well there. I like Will Muschamp. So I think that, you know, Florida fans kind of have an affinity for South Carolina too. So for both fan bases, it's interesting, probably to nobody else, but it is to us.
They've also had some classic games, you know,
going
back for years and years and years. And even, you know, you talked about Florida starting slow. I mean, they always seem to play South Carolina really, really close. It was a close game last year going into the fourth quarter in a rainy, nasty, crappy game. Mm-hmm. I went in 2015, I want to say. No, 2016. I went to the South Carolina. Florida State played Boston College on a Friday night. I went up to that and was driving home on Saturday. A couple of buddies were out tailgating for the Florida game and just said, "Hey, come by the tailgate and get some shrimp and grits." It was a noon kickoff. And then somebody, my buddy Jay, had an extra ticket and just said, "Hey, come in and watch with me." Ticket on like the 10-yard line, I think, like, I don't know, 5 rows up. So they were great seats. And so I went. It was a close game. I feel like that game is always closer than it should be. It probably will be this year too.
South Carolina, Florida. If Florida was going to the SEC championship game, the only thing they had to do was beat South Carolina, who didn't even have a good record that year. And it was in South Carolina, and Florida got upset and they didn't go to the SEC title because of that game. I wouldn't go as far as to say it's a rivalry, but I definitely think it's an intriguing matchup for both schools.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think it'll be good. I think that one will be fun. Again, kind of similar to how I see the Ole Miss game playing out, maybe not as close, but you know, Florida will probably play them close-ish for a half or so. And then I think kind of because of talent and coaching pulls away, but you know, South Carolina be good defensively. You know, Muschamp knows what Mullen does. I mean, it'll be entertaining. Again, you can't get caught sleeping in a noon game. And that's kind of it's probably why South Carolina plays Florida well, is because Florida sleepwalks through the first half of some games that start at noon. So intriguing there. Then you move to a 3:30 game against LSU. Got announced. Not too shocked there. Again, there aren't just absolutely dynamic SEC games every single week, so, because of how they're kind of staggered.
Well, 3:30 is CBS gets first pick of SEC games. I don't know if you at home know exactly how this works, but CBS gets first pick every week of the games. I don't know if the TV rules are going to be different for this season because of how crazy everything is. But in general, CBS has the option of putting two games at 8:00 at night during the course of the season. They usually always do Alabama LSU, and then they do one other one. There are a few games who 3:30 is just what it is always. Florida Georgia is one of those. It will always be 3:30 on CBS. Even if it's the number one versus number two, they won't move that game to 8:00 at night because it is at 3:30 in the afternoon. Same for Alabama Tennessee. That game is always, always, always 3:30 on CBS. But I know you're saying not that intriguing of a matchup, but by CBS picking it, they're saying this is the best game of the day.
No. I agree. I'm saying there aren't that many other
games. Okay. Matchups. Well, so if you're
that same week is Georgia Florida, and they put that at 8:00. So that was, they did pick that. I'm sorry, Georgia Alabama, and they put that one at 8:00. But the rest of the games that day are Vanderbilt, Missouri, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee,
State. Georgia, Alabama is a perfect example of a type of game that CBS picks for 8:00 at night, right? Those two teams, they don't normally play each other. Two, they're the best in each conference at this moment, or each division, I mean, at this moment.
Georgia, Alabama is the best scheduled game in college football this year.
Like prior to our season kicking off, yes.
Absolutely. It's 3-4. You're not going to get that anywhere else. They have it listed as 3-4, but you know, it's really 2-3 because there's no Ohio State there. So prior to the season kicking off, I mean, it makes sense that'd be an 8:00, but what a weekend that is with LSU, Florida.
It's going to be, are you moving in that weekend? It's going to be magnificent.
LSU, Florida, and Georgia, Alabama going back to back. Let's look real quick at the
picked their second 8 p.m. game, correct? Generally, they hold both, usually until, because you can put a 2-week hold on a game. So that's generally what happens. This is new that CBS is announcing this many 3:30. There's always a couple that we know because they're what they are every single season. But usually it's not until a couple weeks out where each so they can put a 10-day hold on a game if they want to. So this is being done differently than it ever has.
So another, I haven't seen the next one or the second one come through.
So they will probably wait on.
Another really, really fun one is that same day. Again, I'm kind of hoping we get a noon one here just so that it lines up well. Don't typically ask for noon games for my teams, but Florida State plays North Carolina that weekend. So you've got the Sam Howell stuff that went on with him decommitting and then committing North Carolina. You've got North Carolina beat us the last time in 2016 and the kicker did the chop going down the field. So I think that's a really intriguing matchup. I didn't see really too much more outside of those three games that are really intriguing, but I mean, you're still flipping around to all the games and checking everything out, but I'd love to have Florida State, North Carolina at noon, Florida LSU at 3:30, And then again, probably the biggest game, the biggest regular season game that's been scheduled so far in Alabama, Georgia, at night. So that's a fun week. And then the only other game that Florida's schedule has been announced, I mean, we'll get into more as they kind of come out, is the 3:30 Florida-Georgia game. It says, I believe it was 2002 was the last time that was a night game. I thought that this might be a good year to make that a night game. You're going to have – I understand why they don't, but you're going to have less crowds. You're going to have a lower capacity. I thought that this would maybe be a good year to put that as a night game because, again –
I didn't even remember that it was a night game in 2002.
If Alabama, Georgia is your number one game of the year in college football, really, I can't think of another one. Maybe, it's your number two game is either Clemson, Notre Dame. Wait, do they play regular season? They don't play regular season. I take that back. It's either Oklahoma, Texas or Florida, Georgia. It's probably Florida, Georgia. So, the only reason that Oklahoma, Texas would, in my mind, potentially sneak in there is because the winner of that game is probably going to the playoff. Right. So that's kind of my
speaking of Oklahoma, they just announced that their season opener is going to be on pay-per-view. Now, they're opening against Missouri State, but I still can't imagine that there's not a TV time slot for them somewhere. It's going to be on pay-per-view for $54.99 a month. I mean, I guess Oklahoma fans miss football enough to pay $50 to watch their team, but that seems like a missed opportunity there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you would do that. I mean, maybe they got a really good deal for it, but yeah, that's kind of interesting, and I'd be pissed if I was an Oklahoma fan. I mean, I would just find some illegal stream of it, but still kind of annoying to not be able to watch it on, a real network or whatever. I would, if Florida State still played Samford and they put that game on pay-per-view, I would not pay for it. I would listen. I would listen to Decker Hoff call it, but I would not pay for that. If I'm Oklahoma and know that
I'm not paying somewhere to watch it.
Yeah, there's no way I'm paying for that. As a fan, not one chance. I mean, if we had like buddies over and everybody shipped in like $5, I mean, that's one thing. But again, I just based on principle, I don't know that I can could do that. So Florida State had some game times announced as well. Week one, Georgia Tech is going to be a 3:30 game. I really thought that would be a maybe I'm just an idiot and put a little too much faith into how much I thought people would want to watch this, but I really thought that would be an 8 o'clock game. The game that they did make 8 o'clock was Western Kentucky and Louisville. I don't know. They also made Clemson and Wake Forest a 7:30 game on ABC. So obviously they just picked Clemson. They picked the better team as opposed to the more intriguing matchup, right? So the SEC did the opposite. The SEC picked their most intriguing game to be featured on the SEC network, right? Tennessee and South Carolina. And the ACC just picked their best team. I think the Georgia Tech Florida State is the most intriguing ACC game of the weekend. The rest of them are Syracuse, North Carolina, boring. Duke, Notre Dame, boring. Pittsburgh, Austin Peay, boring. Clemson, Wake Forest, boring. Louisville, Western Kentucky, boring. UAB, Miami, that's a Thursday night. So I think the Georgia Tech is really the only one where the underdog has a legitimate chance of winning it. But 3:30, it kind of is what it is. That works fine, I guess.
I think 3:30 is the premier time for a game, in my opinion. I don't know. It just depends. I guess it depends on
from an SEC mindset. I think it is, but I think your 8 o'clock, is kind of how people outside of the SEC have always viewed prime time.
Yeah,
3:30 is fine.
I mean, I don't mind an 8 o'clock game if my kids can be asleep, so I can actually have both eyes on the TV instead of one. That's not always a bad thing. But I do run the possibility that we decide to watch the second half in our bedroom upstairs, and then I'm not awake. Which
Noon would have been disrespectful. I guess 3:30 is fine. It's not that big of a deal. We also have sucked forever, so if that's how they kind of do it, that's how they do it. We play Notre Dame at 7:30 on NBC. That's a road night game. Not really a lot of shock there. I mean, you can be as terrible. Florida State could have gone 0-12 last year when you have the program with the status that Notre Dame has and the program with the status that Florida State has, that game is always going to be a night game,
yeah,
or at the very least a 3:30 game. But because NBC can do whatever they want, they're going to premiere, they're going to put Notre Dame at night when they play those big time opponents. Sure. And so not a lot of shock there at all. I don't think that hurts or helps Florida State.
Well, because there's not fans. I think it makes a difference when there are fans in the stands, but I don't think it makes a difference when there's not.
So I think that game, I mean, I
expect stadium's been drinking since 7 a.m. It is more helpful for the home team. But if you're going to be playing the bleachers, is Florida State selling cutouts of fans? I haven't heard if Florida is or not, but if they are, I want
in. No, that's like 25%. You can go in.
Yeah, but can you fill the rest of it?
No. That's like a Miami thing to do. Get out of here.
Texas is doing it.
That's weird to me. I think the cutout thing is weird.
Virginia Tech's doing it too. Virginia Tech's charging $75 and Texas is only charging $50.
I would pay. Let's do cutouts of ourselves and put them in Texas. Like,
okay.
Like, who are these two people? But yeah, why would I pay $75 for Virginia Tech when I get $50 for a premier
team? Right? I know. It's weird.
Team. Like, that's so stupid. So anyway, so a few game times announced there. We talked about the Big Ten. I think the only thing left is, well, do you have anything else? The only thing I have left is kind of our local.
I mean, I do think it's interesting. UCF had 10 players opt out. We didn't talk about that, but.
Yeah, we can. We got a couple minutes.
They have two of them are defensive starters, so that'll be interesting. One of them is their backup quarterback, who, if I had to guess, that's so that he can transfer to another program. But. I don't know. I thought that was interesting because that is by far the most number of any single program that I personally have heard about.
Yeah, definitely don't understand. Like I said, unless they're just looking to transfer,
yeah,
don't understand why they would have that many opt-outs, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's just so different than every other team. The Big Ten just responded to Donald Trump's tweet, by the way.
On Twitter?
They released a statement. Big Ten conference statement regarding conversation.
I want to see the tweet storm. Right? I want them to go back and forth on Twitter because that would be
hilarious. I'd be here for that. But a White House representative reached out to the Big Ten conference commissioner, Kevin Warren, on Monday, August 31st, 2020, to facilitate a phone call between President Donald J. Trump and Commissioner Warren. On Tuesday, September 1st, 2020, Commissioner Warren and the president had a productive conversation. The Big Ten conference and its Return to Competition Task Force on behalf of the Big Ten Council of Presidents and Chancellors are exhausting every resource possible to help student athletes get back to playing the sport they love at the appropriate time in the safest and healthiest way possible. That is a big nothing burger, but.
Well, I was going to say, I was waiting for the, not punchline because it wasn't a joke. Well, it was a joke. Yeah. I was waiting for the punchline from that joke and it ended up just being a terrible joke, but.
So the call happened. So.
Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean,
it doesn't sound like they're doing anything different than that they were doing prior to the conversation, because I feel like that's the same exact statement they've been giving on everything. But you know, so here's the thing that it gets people talking, which I'm sure, as you pointed out, that's the whole point. But anyway, back to UCF, a lot of players opting out. Ha ha.
Probably opting out, like you said, to transfer, maybe go somewhere else. I mean, I don't think, you know, DJ Mack is, you know, about to go to the NFL. So
no, but I think DJ Mack is a great player. And I think that he is probably by the end of the season going to actually be sitting at third string. So I can see why you'd want to make a move.
Yeah. Why stick around? So obvious culture problems there in Orlando.
But Mackenzie Milton will probably be back at some point in the season, which is why DJ Mack will probably go to third string. So, and he's good enough to play start somewhere else. So I'm not saying it's going to be a power five necessarily, but I mean, maybe it is. He's good enough to be elsewhere. So I would not blame the kid for looking for another opportunity because he's going to be on the bench more than likely, not because he's not good, but because Mackenzie Milton is Mackenzie Milton.
Much better. Yeah, for sure. And he doesn't lose the year of eligibility, right?
Right. Like,
you sit
this
out
is the time.
And, yep. So local stuff really quickly. The Rays are maybe the best team in baseball. I don't know if you've been catching them or if you've been catching the high. I mean, I don't know if
you're watching baseball mainly.
Highlights, but or just box scores.
It just happens to be on ESPN.
Yeah. They just continue to win. My buddy was texting me last night. And he was like, man, this baseball season is so incredibly fun right now. And I said, buddy, sports are fun when your team can't lose. Like when your team just wins every game.
Right.
Yeah. It's a ton of fun. The Rays are 25-11. They have a 4.5 game streak against the Yankees. I believe they're 8-1 against the second place Yankees. They have a 69.4 winning percentage. In a regular season that had 162 games, they would be on pace for 112 wins, which is insane. Not saying they would win 112 games. Obviously, you can go on hot streaks, but this is kind of a benefit of the shortened season. They've played 36 games, so 24 to go. It'll go quickly. It'll be over in 4 weeks. But I'll take it. I'll take the hot start that they're on. And then across the bay, the light on our side of the bridge.
You did double lightning. Overtime last night.
I did not feel good about it. The Lightning looked good all game. They were getting outshot, but I thought they had just as good of chances, if not better, than Boston the whole time. Boston really should have won the game in the first overtime. They were all over us, but let us get to the second overtime and found a way to eliminate them. It's always a good thing when you can eliminate any Boston team and in their season. So big fan of that. Lightning are 4 games away from the Stanley Cup, or Stanley Cup Finals. So I think they'll be favored against whoever they play, either the Islanders or Flyers. But then I know nothing about the West, so that's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah. Well, but I'm here for it. All of our Tampa sports showing up, and we have Tom Brady as our quarterback for the Bucks, which is still, every time I say that out loud, I don't actually believe that I'm saying it. So at least from a professional standpoint, our teams are looking good.
Yeah, I think so. I'm still very much in wait and see mode on the Bucks, and we can talk about them a little bit more as we get closer to the season. I'm in wait and see mode just because there was no off season, and we obviously are implementing an entire new.
Right.
Though he's the greatest.
Yeah, but if I was going to say, if you're going to have somebody do it, you'd want it to be Tom Brady.
Rather be him, or maybe somebody that had played with Arians before, like that might be kind of nobody over Brady, but yeah, it kind of weird offseason. I just think it may take us a couple games to get clicking. And in the NFL, you can't start too poorly because the season just, you know, you get behind and it's tough. But the schedule lines up pretty easily. I think the only game on the schedule that's a sure loss for the Bucks is the Kansas City game. And, you know, who knows? That could be a win, but I'd be pretty shocked if our defense could stop Mahomes. But anybody else, I think we can beat. And so, you know, the problem with that is that every game on the schedule could also be a loss. Like there's no oh man, that's absolutely a win. So
there's just so much to chance at the moment. We have to see how it all plays out. But being able to look at the schedule and know that there's not many that you guarantee are a loss is something that Bucks fans haven't been able to do in a very long time. So
for sure. You even look at last year, and I think the schedule was easier than ended up being easier than we thought it would be, but we just were very mediocre and going 7-9. But last year, I mean, you look at the schedule and you knew that 3 or 4 games were absolute losses. You know, a quarter of your schedule was right. You were losing those games no matter what. And this year, I mean, maybe it's 1 or 2. I think the New Orleans, playing in New Orleans week 1 is going to be pretty difficult.
That's going to be hard. Yeah.
But, you know, then you're looking at 2 games where it's definitely a loss, right? And they could win either one of those. They've got the greatest quarterback ever. I don't expect them to, but they could. So we'll see. I'm waiting to see more on the Bucks for sure. They're also the worst run organization in
Tampa.
So that's one thing. Like, I hate to be cliche, but you can put lipstick on a pig and you can bring in all these weapons and stuff. But if your leadership at the top still sucks, it's tough to win games. So that's kind of the other part of it, that the Rays are run very well. The Lightning are run very well and they win. The Bucks are not run very well. So we'll see. Other than that, I don't really have anything.
Before we go, I do want to give kudos to Notre Dame, which I never do, but they have announced that they are going to be giving students first priority for all their tickets before they give them to anybody else, to students and families of players. I think that's great. Notre Dame can take the hit for 1 year for season ticket holders to put the kids that pay their tuition in the stands. I think that's the most fun atmosphere for players anyway. I know that most schools haven't announced how they're determining who fills up their percentage, but I hope a lot of other schools follow suit. I could see the argument for why you want boosters that are going to be in boxes, because those kind of self-isolate on their own. But I think it's pretty cool if it were to just be student sections across the country.
I think it'd be interesting, a lot of fun. I wonder what, I mean, you're right. Notre Dame can take the hit for 1 year.
And not everybody can. And that's a fact, but.
What is the, so they can take the hit for 1 year, right?
Right.
Do some of the boosters that then have to take that hit, though, become bitter about it?
Like a
lasting thing?
I don't know that I think many become bitter about it. I think that, I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I know, like, for us, for Florida, we've been given the opportunity to either A, sit tight and wait and see how it plays out to see if we are able to get into the stadium at all this year or whatever. B, donate our money to the university, which, by the way, that's not happening. The amount that we paid for our season tickets. C, roll it over into next year's season ticket payment. Or D, they've created this like Florida football marketplace, essentially, where you can spend the amount of money that your season tickets cost on things like game worn jerseys or a jersey produced with your last name on it, but produced by the the equipment department for the football team. Or you can go deep sea fishing with Mike White. You can go golf with Spurrier. You can sit next to Spurrier for a game day.
Let's go deep sea fishing with Mike White. I'm a huge fan. I would think that would be fantastic.
I think that's such a random thing. I'm trying to think of what the one with Dan Mullen was. I don't know why I can't remember, but maybe it's golfing with Mullen. I don't know, whatever it is. Like, sitting next to Spurrier at a football game is the most intriguing to me, because I bet that would be hysterical. But anyway, you can cash in your value towards all of these things if you don't want to as well. There's lots of signed merchandise and things like that, opportunities to do stuff on the field, whatever. We've chosen just to sit tight and see how this plays out. But I think, anyway, back to my original comment, which is any university that can, I think it would be really cool to let it be students and parents first.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the parents
should be a no-brainer.
The parents even more so than the students. The problem with
1,000%, but you're talking about a couple hundred people.
Right. Yeah. So that's easy. I think you should do that.
Each player gets 4 tickets. At least that's how it works at UF. I assume that's how it works everywhere. You can trade with your teammates and stuff. If you have a lot of family that wants to come to one game and they have a lot of family coming to the other, you can kind of, finagle within each other or whatever. But for the most part, every player gets 4 tickets. So we're talking about, and teams will not be dressing the same number of guys that they normally do. So if you're not dressing, for the most part, you get 2 tickets. So we're talking about maybe 400 people, total.
Which, makes up such a small amount,
right,
of 20,000, right? So, students, though, the one thing I will say about students,
you cannot come in the second quarter if you're one of those 20 percenters, though,
or leave early. Like, they should
scan leave early.
They should scan students when they come in and when they leave. Like, you go to the
1,000%.
I went to, I want to say, 4 or 5 games, including the championship game in 2013. And we had the best team in the, like, so against Miami, nobody left early, right? Because it was Miami. I get it. Against NC State, we were up 35-0 in the first quarter, and people were gone those last 3 quarters, and it just sucked. I mean, just down in the student section, like, it was fine the rest of the everybody else that travels 4 hours to get there, like, stays, because right, they got nothing else to do. What am I going to just drive back to Tampa after a 15-minute quarter? But, I think they should scan them coming in and going out. Like, you should, and if you don't scan going out, then you don't get to come back to another game. That would be kind of how I would. They should have like the little things like Disney has. You have to scan on your way in, scan your way out, so we know you stayed for at least 3.5 quarters. If you want to leave with 5 minutes left because we're up getting killed, that's fine. I don't care. But you have to stay for at least 3 quarters. You can't be leaving at halftime or whatever. And then getting back in and taking somebody else's spot, because let somebody be there. Now this year, I guess I will say that it's 20%. I mean, it's going to look like people are leaving anyway. So I guess maybe it's not as big of a deal this year. But regular years, it should happen. So that's my pet peeve of the week. All right, cool. Well, that's all I've got for this week. Unless Allie has any more love for Notre Dame or any other blue bugs. Or...
nope. That's all I got this week. All the love I've got.
All right, cool. Well, I will talk to you next week. Thanks for hanging out.
Sounds good.
Well, it all seems so happy. But how can that be? When there's a whole class of people just as lonesome as me. You ask me to tell you how I can be so blue, but you'd be the same if the girl of your dreams broke your heart in two. So play me a Hank song to ease my pain, 'cause it helps to know someone felt the same damn way. Brother, what can I say? Yeah, I feel like a Hank song since she went away. The old KG's my buddy. Times back in high school, when I was too poor for Jack, but even he knows that sometimes you can't help right the wrongs. By getting stone blind, you need to sit down and pine to a Hank senior song. Song to ease my pain, 'cause it helps to know someone felt the same damn way. Alone and forsaken, brother, what can I say? Yeah, I feel like a Hank song since she went away. Damn way. Alone feel like it.